Hey, since you're a dad now, do you make a lot of dad noises? Just like,
that's the least of the noises I make. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I have DSL internet, so you gotta, you know. There's an ad. Fuck this. I can skip it in 4 seconds.
Meet your new parents.
Okay, I cut it off.
Yeah, no, I think we get the gist.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's every night, Saturday night, when we're talking basketball, I might just play that song every time.
A new intro song? I mean, it is Tuesday at 10 p.m., so why not have it be Saturday night?
I know, every time, bro. It's all good. Oh, my God. Well, anyway, as I was telling you earlier, my recording device, aka my iPhone, might be running out of space, so we gotta hammer out this stuff quick. So let's just skip the bullshit and get to it, shall we?
Quick and dirty.
Cool, bro. Like it. Yeah. All right. Well, I haven't done this in a while. Okay. So welcome everybody. Welcome you bozos. This is Ballin' with Bozos. I'm Gavin. That's Brian.
Yep.
In the past, we've always tried to talk about a bunch of basketball stuff, and we always will. But let's just be real. We talk about the Warriors and the Blazers pretty much all the time. So. That's what this episode's all about, because tonight was opening night. There were 3 games. I don't know totally what happened, but I'm sure you'll fill me in. But this is going to be a season preview almost for, correct me if I'm wrong if we're doing that, but we're going to be talking mostly upcoming seasons for Warriors and Blazers basketball.
I mean, we can talk about last year, Warriors and Blazers if we want, but we don't. We probably shouldn't go there.
No. I don't want to do that. There's too much stuff going on.
Too much.
Mm-hmm. All right, bro. Well, how do you want to start this? You want to start this off, or should I ask you some questions? Because I was reading a really nice Bleacher Report article about your Golden State Warriors.
Oh, let's start with that.
Okay. Well, first off, they have very flattering things to say. They think you're great.
Yeah.
Couple things that jumped off the page. You don't have to answer right away. First off, I didn't realize, did Seth Curry make the team?
You know, I don't even know if he ended up making the final 15-man roster.
I had no idea he was even trying out. That's weird.
Yeah, he was an undrafted invitee.
Okay, and then they called, the Bleacher Report called Draymond Green a stretch 4. Does he stretch?
It's a stretch of an assumption right there.
Yeah, I would say so. And then they said that the most likely person to be traded was David Lee. And then the next line they said, Lee is unlikely to be traded.
This is classic BR.
Yeah, man. Well, I just want to know, actually, because let's just start off with this, is that one thing they really did do a good job, I have to say, breaking down, is that the new acquisitions, new team, new look. You got Harrison Barnes coming off the bench, which probably is for the best. And the big move, bruh. You were all excited. Talk about your boy Iggy.
All right, well, I'm going to start... Seth Curry didn't make the final roster, doesn't look like.
Oh.
So,
Blazers will pick him up.
Yeah, poor Mama Curry.
Mm.
I mean, it was a very bad secret for the last handful of years that the Warriors were trying to trade for Iguodala.
Oh, yeah.
The original rumor came up even years ago. They were trying to trade Monta Ellis for Andre Iguodala.
No. I didn't know that. That's good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like that. And that was the thing that, like, there was this kind of this weird thing among Warriors fans where, like, you know, Monta Ellis was always a fan favorite, so they didn't want to trade him for Iguodala.
Mm-hmm.
But then a lot of people thought that Iguodala would make the Warriors a lot better. At the time, it wouldn't have really mattered because the team wasn't very good as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of funny. But now, I mean, last year you saw, obviously, how good the Warriors can be. And they got Iguodala for Biedrins and for Richard Jefferson and Brandon Rush. So it was pretty filthy coop of a deal for them.
Yeah, I'd say so. That was, I think that, nothing against those guys. I think the only guy I would really be pumped to get on the team is Brandon Rush.
Brandon Rush is a lot better, like, in theory than he is in practice.
Yeah.
In the sense that he hasn't played basketball in a year.
Yeah, that whole injury thing was no good when Zach Randolph ruined him, his career.
I was watching that game live, and, like, right when it happened, I was like, that's it. There goes his season.
Yep. No, it sucks.
Here's the thing with Iguodala is, you know, like you mentioned, it's going to push Harrison Barnes to the bench or maybe even Clay to the bench, depending on what they end up doing. None of that matters because there are enough minutes to go around that those six guys, the main guys are going to get their minutes.
Barnes should be coming off the bench anyway because he's like, I mean, not an insult to him, but he's like a perfect guy to be coming off the bench. I didn't even think of that before reading this excellent Bleacher Report article, but he can, like, 3 and 4. He should just switch off the whole game. He's going to come off the bench, but he's still going to play, like, 30 minutes a game, at least.
Yeah. I honestly would rather Barnes to start and Clay come off the bench.
Mm.
Because Barnes, as I've probably talked about on this little recording that we do, tends to float in and out of games, and it's been his MO since his freshman year at North Carolina.
Right.
Whereas Clay, at this point, like, it's funny to think of him as a veteran because he's really young still. But he's got a much more defined role. Like, his job is just to knock it down.
Yeah.
Iguodala is on the team, so Iguodala is going to guard the other team's best perimeter player. Like, Clay doesn't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Clay doesn't have to worry about passing, anything like that. Iggy takes care of all that. Clay just got to come in and knock it down. And I feel like that's something he can just do in his sleep. So might as well just, you know, have him come off the bench. He's still going to play 30 minutes a game, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd rather get Barnes just focused in the game right off the bat. And so the funny thing, too, is we're talking about, you know, these guys coming off the bench. Ideally, I feel like the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, it's going to be David Lee as the odd man out on the bench and have Harrison at 4. Bogey at 5, Curry at 1, and then Clay and Iggy as the wings.
Didn't that happen last season, too, sometimes?
They did it in the playoffs because Lee was hurt.
Okay, and it was effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was effective against San Antonio. Well, both Denver and San Antonio, because neither of those guys have, like, dominant scoring fours, you know?
Right.
Like, I should say low post threats at the power forward position.
Okay, gotcha. Are you concerned about losing a locker room guy like Jarrett Jack?
kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Jarrett Jack was key. Honestly, though, like, Iguodala is going to take up a lot of the slack that Jack left because... you know, Curry's great, but, you know, Jack was the best, you know, distributor, like, decision-maker type guy on mm-hmm. the team. And Iguodala is, you know, basically is, like, more of a point guard than Curry in terms of, like, decision-making and passing. And Iguodala is a great passer, great
right.
facilitator. Something that helps a lot.
I'm looking at Iguodala right now. I'm showing him, they're showing a picture of him doing a behind-the-back pass in his new Golden State Warriors jersey. And... I gotta tell you, not only does he look good in that jersey, but he looks buff.
He's got a good body.
He's very buffed out. I like that. Not to be weird or anything, but he's a very buff man. Yeah. That's something you were lacking. Maybe they were lacking because I'm looking at the depth chart here. I mean, you're not getting a whole lot of buffness out of a lot of these guys. I mean, Andrew, I guess Bogut might be a little buff, but in kind of like a beer drinking kind of way, you know?
Yeah, he's more like. I don't know how to describe it. Yeah, no. He probably has like an iron. He probably can't now. But...
You know who the bogey's like? He's like the villain in Commando.
He wears chainmail on the side.
Yeah. It's like just like no muscle in his arms, but can still beat up Arnold Schwarzenegger because he's got... What was his name? I can't remember. I'm not gonna sidetrack us, I swear to God. Okay, anyway. Yeah.
Name.
What's that?
His name is Bennett.
Ah, yes, Bennett.
He was Australian, so there you go.
Yeah, Bennett, blow off some steam.
My favorite villain in movie history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know who we've got? So you can replace him off the bench who's got to carry a little weight.
Bazemore.
Oh, well, I mean, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Dancing and otherwise. Maurice Spates, though, very underrated signing by us.
Yeah, actually, that's funny. So I want to talk about this Bleacher Report thing. They said the most disappointing player this year will probably be Maurice Spates, and I totally disagree with it when they were going through it.
It's hard to be disappointing when you sign a guy like Spates to a 3-year, $11 million contract. Like,
yeah,
for essentially $3.5 million a year, you're getting a productive player off the bench. Like, it's hard. I don't see how he can be disappointing.
Okay, I'm actually reading it again. It says most disappointing player Maurice Spates, and then the next line is Spates was not a bad signing by Golden State. In his mid-range jumper and toughness will make him a decent role player. It's like, well, okay.
Kind of exactly what they were looking for when they signed him. So
whatever. Yeah, and especially like if you're going to be after the playoffs. I mean, Barnes, like what you were saying, like he was effective at the four, even without David Lee. I mean, why would you need like a overpay a guy like Carl Landry? You know, like if you have David Lee, who's your main guy, but then also you have guys who are very capable at filling at the four, and now you have Maurice Spates as well. You're not expecting Maurice Spates to be like a dominant guy. You're expecting him to give you a few minutes. You know,
like a few quality minutes per game every now and then. Have a solid game where he, you know, ends up closing down the stretch. Stuff
yeah,
like that.
Totally.
All you need. No. And yeah, it's exactly like Carl Landry. It's a good comparison because we signed him for super cheap last year, and then he went off and, God, he got overpaid. I forget where he even went. But,
he went to Sacktown, dude. He went to Sacktown, and he I think he's injured.
He went back to Sacktown?
I think so. I'm so out of the loop, dude. I gotta admit, I haven't been keeping up with much, but yeah, hey, I'm pretty sure he's in Sacktown.
Every year, the season sneaks up on us.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to point out Jermaine O'Neal is on the Warriors.
I was holding on to that one. I was going to see if you brought it up first, but I really like that. You know, my guy Jermaine O'Neal, when he was 17 years old, he was drafted by the Portland Trail Blazers. It was great.
100% remember where he was drafted.
Mm-hmm. Drafted number 17, I believe. Right off the top of my head, but I don't know.
The second high schooler in that same draft, the first high schooler was... another guy who's still in the NBA by the name of Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, Kobe Bean, man. No.
Oh, Carl Landry is on Sacramento, and he's at 3 to 4 months after hip surgery.
Yep, that's what it was.
There you go. He signed a $26 million contract over the summer.
Yeah, no, that's just dumb. I mean, like, with guys like Jarrett Jack, though, I mean, I don't know. That Jarrett Jack, I think both those guys earned contracts elsewhere. I just don't blame the Warriors for not signing them for what they got. You know,
it was great signings at the time, and that it was. I think it's fine to let those guys go.
Yeah, no, it's just like it's just a revolving door. I mean, the way that salary cap works. I mean, guys have big years like that, then you sign them to $22 million, and they get hip problems.
And then Jarrett Jack goes to Cleveland.
Yeah, and he's gonna dominate Cleveland. He's gonna be the king of Cleveland. He's gonna get any girl he wants.
And he's gonna be never playing because Kyrie Irving's there.
Yeah, but he can play too, and he's going to be a really good mentor, and it's going to be kind of like a really good feel-good story, and I can't wait to read about it.
You got the outline for the screenplay of this already written?
Oh my god, just think about like a combination of Angels in the Outfield and Major League 2 and Make It Basketball, and that's what I'm doing.
Throw in a little Caddyshack too, just for fun.
Oh my god, you know, Jarrett Jack, all of a sudden they're going to be like, they're going to force him in retirement, and they're going to be like, but you can manage him, and he's going to be like, I'm not a manager, I'm a ball player. And then he comes back and he manages him, and they're all best friends.
And you can even throw in a little Eddie and have Whoopi Goldberg as Coach Mike Brown.
I haven't seen Eddie in a long time, and what I really like about Eddie was that they were going to move the New York Knicks to, like, Oklahoma.
The only thing I honestly remember from that movie was she got to coach for the day because she made like a half court shot or something.
Yeah, I love that. They really need to do that. What's the one team that should do that?
I think I would never put that past Donald Sterling to do something like that.
I read a recent article about Donald Sterling that I think that maybe he would do that, and Doc Rivers would just have to sit there and take it.
Yeah, you read the Woj thing?
That is so bad. Unbelievable. That's just proof that they're never going to win.
It just really shows a cursed franchise.
Oh, I feel bad for myself sometimes, but at least my owner, who's crazy, tries. You know? He does dumb things, but when he does dumb things, he goes after, like, GMs. He doesn't go after, like, reneging on deals with players.
Or calling guys that he pays fat on the court.
I like that, though. I can't wait till he does that to J.J. Redick after reading that Woj article.
Make some abortion jokes at J.J. Redick's expense.
Oh, gosh. I don't know what that means, but it's just horrible.
Google it.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Oh, my God. We totally took a turn. I love it. Okay.
We're getting a little dark here in this first episode.
Yeah, whatever. No big deal. I don't even know what that means, but I'm bleeping it, but I don't know how to bleep. I'm not really bleeping it.
Okay, that would require editing, which we don't have.
Nope, none of it. I don't even know if we're still... Yeah, we're still recording. That's okay. We got time.
Well, then, I just want to wrap up quickly. I've seen... I think the Vegas over-under for the Warriors wins was 52.
Okay.
I saw Kelly Dwyer predict 57 wins for the Warriors.
Okay.
I think both of those are very optimistic. I think if we win the same as last year, which was 47, I would consider it a successful year. Just because based on health, you know, it's impossible. I'm not going to predict a win total for the Warriors, but, I mean... I don't expect Bogey to play a full year. He looked like crap. I mean, he looked good, but he was hurt, obviously, in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was miraculous. Curry played the whole year last year. But, I mean, we have as good a chance as any to, you know, compete in the West. So,
You said Kelly Dwyer predicted 57. What else did you say?
The Vegas total was 52, I believe.
Okay. Well, none of that matters. Because the Bleacher Report says it's going to be 56.
Boom.
First
with BR. 56 is the win total.
First in the Pacific Division.
I still can't see us beating the Clippers. Though the Clippers lost tonight to the Lakers, and the Warriors are favored by 12 points tomorrow against the Lakers. So,
Don't sleep on the Lakers right now. They're on fire.
EP.
God, so bad. I'm looking at pictures, actually, of the Warriors... On my Bleacher, I'm going to keep talking about the Bleacher Report article I'm reading. They keep posting pictures of the Laker game. It's like a half-empty Staples Center, and they keep showing pictures of Chris Kaman. That guy looks like... He looks like Biff from Back to the Future. It's awesome.
Like, literally how Biff would look today... Based from 1955.
Oh, man.
75-year-old man.
Dude, look it up. Look up Chris Kaman Lakers. You'll find a picture, and he looks like Biff. Kind of. No. He looks like Biff slash... if Biff and... You merged him with Biff and the big... I don't watch the show, but the square-jawed Hellboy from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, Ron Perlman?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
He does kind of look like Ron Perlman.
Yeah, he does. It's awesome. But yeah,
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When did the Blazers cut Myers Leonard?
Okay. All right. So here's the thing. He's not going to get cut because Neil Olshey drafted him. Here's what I think is happening here. They drafted Myers Leonard because he's a big guy. He's athletic, you know? I don't know how to sound weird saying this, but he's tall, he's got broad shoulders, you know, very broad, muscular, you know?
Yep.
So they kind of figured he'd be a bruiser, or they could at least make him that. He spent the offseason, when I read about him from Blazer Joe Freeman, was that he's been working on his three-point shot.
Yep.
And so, here, two things. For starters... You already have a big man who likes to take jump shots with the Blazers. LaMarcus Aldridge. So if you want to, I've said it before that it's good to kind of spread it out a little bit, but at the same time, if you have a guy who's 7'1", like 260 pounds, maybe go under the basket. It's probably, you know, that might be a good place to go. Secondly, he just lost out. He's now a third string. Backup center is Joel Freeland, who's the British guy. And to his credit, he's done, like, he's not putting up crazy numbers. But if you see the stuff that he does, and, like, LaMarcus Aldridge is talking about it, Nick Batum's talking about it, all the, like, the quote-unquote core guys are talking about it, is that he's doing things, like, the dirty work stuff. And he's openly, like, bragged about how he's molding his game after Nick Collison.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's kept talking about that, because Neil Olshey and whoever else, Terry Stotts, I guess, would have went up to him last season, and they said, this is a guy that you can mold your game after. And so that's what he's doing. And so on the one hand, you're like, good for this guy, because he understands that, you know, he might be a star in Great Britain, but here he's going to be like a Nick Collison type, the bruiser who's going to be doing the dirty work. On the other hand, you have a lottery pick from last year who's 7'1", who just lost out the backup center job to a guy who's bragging about molding his game after Nick Collison.
And Freeland's like, what, 28 at this point or something? He's like a young guy.
Yeah, well, I think he's a little younger. I think he's like 26. I don't know for sure, but he was drafted the same year as Oden.
Let's not go there yet. It's too early in the year.
Too early. Too soon. Pouring a little out right now. But yeah, so I don't think that Myers-Leonard gets, I know you're joking, but I don't know what he's going to do, because this is the biggest slap in the face, and what they're saying is stop shooting three-pointers. That's what my takeaway is of all this is that he lost out the backup job because he's focusing on things he shouldn't be focusing on.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. I remember seeing the Blazer Freeman thing about that, and I was just thinking, it's not going to... Not a good thing there.
Yeah, he's broadening his game. He wants to shoot threes. It's like, well, okay, the problem is that, not to, I'm not comparing the two at all, because they're never going to be the same, but if you look at his build and, like, how, like wide he is, like, how far out his shoulders go, he could be built similarly to Dwight Howard, but he's choosing to be this finesse guy, you know? Not saying he'd be Dwight Howard. I'm saying that he could be like a big bruising type of guy where he could do some good work under the rim. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime a team drafts someone who's tall and, like, you know, not Sean Bradley, you expect him to have some kind of physical presence, not shooting three-pointers. So.
Hey, man, Donnie Nelson, he would love this shit if he was shooting three-pointers. He got Manu Bol out there at the three-point line. Shooting, it was great, but, like, right now it's not working. And, like, when you have, like I said, LaMarcus Aldridge, who's really effective under the rim, but you just don't need a guy that big shooting threes, especially when you have a team full of three-point shooters now. They're all three-point shooters. Like, why do you want your biggest guy doing it too? So, whatever.
So, one of those three-point shooters is out to start the year. A rookie by the name of CJ McCollum.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you're mentioning all this, because I actually am going to post my first Blazer blog post in a long time.
Excellent.
And one of the things that I was talking about in it was like how so he broke his foot. He broke his foot, and he had foot problems coming into the draft. He'd broken his foot last year. I'm all in on that draft pick. I was all for it. I love it. But
right,
of course,
I'm aware of this.
Of course, he breaks his foot, and so like in my blog post that I'll be posting a little bit later is, after he did that, like, my internal monologue was like, "Well, was it catastrophic?" You know, it's like, okay. Well, not right now. And it's like, okay, well, does he still have his charm? And like, yes, he still does have his charm. Like, well, if all else fails, he still has that. And it's just like, what the hell? I mean, at some point you just have to be like, this is so stupid. Like, how in the world can this happen? They fired their trainer. They have a new guy who's, like, all into the new age stuff, you know, and they're doing the right things, like if you listen to what CJ McCollum said after he broke his foot, it sounds like they're doing like more progressive training things, and he just fluke broke his foot, you know? Not a good sign. I'm hoping he comes back and he's going to be fine, but at the same time, it's one of those things, like after the past few years, you just kind of, you literally, when I heard he broke his foot, I didn't even react. I was just like, oh, that's, of course, why not?
it's very, very, like, tragic is maybe a strong word, but it's kind of, I mean, the career path of someone who gets drafted by the Blazers, so.
I told my
Damian Dame stays healthy all year again this year, because he's fun to watch at least.
No, he's great. I mean, they are deeper now, so I don't think he's going to get, you know, ridden in the ground and stuff, and they got, you know, my boy Mo Williams, love him, but, yeah.
Moist Moe's going to get some playing time with God. McCollum down.
Dude, Alan Crabb, he'll get playing time because CJ McCollum's down.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him. You guys drafted him too.
Yep, so, I mean, it's not all bad. It's just, like, I hope he comes back, and it's not, for me, like, after, like, the watching some players, like break down and stuff, it's partially that I want to see them come back and do well, and it's partially that I don't want to see them, like, physically and emotionally break in front of an entire city, you know? Because they have all this, like, pressure on them. It's just like, yeah, okay.
The only show in town thing.
Oh, my God. All you gotta, well, you know, don't go talking too soon, bro, because the Portland Timbers, dude, they're the number one seed in the Western Conference right now.
Is that soccer?
It's Major League Soccer. It's the big time. Oh, my God. So it might be their town soon. So not a big deal.
Can I tell you about my favorite Blazers thing that happened in the last week?
Yeah.
LaMarcus Aldridge's bold prediction for the Blazers.
Okay, I don't know if I saw this. What was it?
So it's just funny because, like, you know, people get asked dumb questions all the time. You know, they'll ask, you know, Kemba Walker on the Bobcats, like, oh, do you think this is a playoff team? You know, he's going to be like, yeah, you know, we can compete. You know, he's not going to say, oh, no, we're going to win 10 games because they are. But
yeah.
So I guess they're asking LaMarcus about a prediction, and he said, oh, yeah, we're going to be the number 7 seed.
No, okay, so here, okay, let's just back this up for a second, too. This is another bone I'm picking here is, yeah, okay, so he said that, and then also people are starting to buy into the fact, especially journalists, they're kind of buying into Neil Olshey is doing a good job of, like, trying to, you know, diffuse the topic, you know, and, like, make it, I don't know, he's trying to make it sound like that they're going to keep LaMarcus Aldridge, right?
Yeah.
Here's my problem with this, is that people are actually buying into the fact, journalists, that if they make the playoffs, if they make the 8th or 7th seed, that's somehow going to show, that's going to show growth, which it does. It's going to show growth in that it's going to convince LaMarcus Aldridge that he should sign his contract extension with the Blazers because of that growth. Here's why that doesn't make sense. That makes perfect sense if you're a young team and you're you know, you're Oklahoma City Thunder a couple years ago, you know, you squeak into the playoffs and your core players are in their fourth year in the league or whatever, and they're 23 years old, you know? The Blazers aren't that young. They have young players, but their core is, according to them, Damian Lillard, LaMarcus Aldridge, Nick Batum, and Wesley Matthews.
Yeah.
They're younger. I mean, they're fine right now, but, I mean, you make the 7th seed or the 8th seed, it's not like you're going to be like, wow, you know, we haven't even reached our ceiling yet, you know?
Yeah.
That's the kind of is what it is. They're going to be there. They have younger players that are going to help, but there's no, like, huge difference maker unless, you know, Myers Leonard stops shooting threes and he becomes, like, the next Dwight Howard. So, I mean, I just don't understand why people are buying into that, because even at 7 or 8 seed, good for them. But to me, it seems like, all right, what are you going to do after that? Because you're still going to be the 7th or 8th seed the next year. You're still in the Western Conference. You don't have anyone who's going to be, like, taking over and, like, big time. Everyone kind of is what they are. You know?
I will say that Olshey has done a pretty good job with acquiring talent for cheap.
I will say this. I think he's done an excellent job. I was really skeptical of him, and I love everything he's done. I love getting Thomas Robinson.
Yeah, that was pretty solid. I mean, because he's kind of a freebie at this point. He's making, you know, he's on a rookie contract, so.
Yeah, and they didn't give up a lot. They gave up, like, a prospect in Europe, but, like, prospects in Europe, like, we've seen how that works out for the Blazers. He'll probably be an all-star somewhere else, but it doesn't work out for the Blazers ever. So, like, you know, Kluivert is on the team. There we go.
$1.3 million this year.
Yeah, and so it's just, like, I don't know. It made sense to me, and it's also, like, the kind of guy that Portland's always wanted. He makes mistakes and stuff, but at the same time, he's big, he's aggressive, and he rebounds, you know? And so I'll deal with his mistakes. I'll deal with his dumb plays once in a while because I know that he's going to crash the boards. He's not going to float around the perimeter, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I'm really excited about the stuff they've done. I don't see where LaMarcus... I'm really curious to see what they do here because now they have all these assets that are younger. And do they flip those for somebody else to try and partner in with LaMarcus Aldridge and the rest of those guys and see if they can get LaMarcus Aldridge to stay that way? Or if they're going to use some of those pieces to help facilitate multi-team trades with LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah.
Because I wrote about this blog post that, like, you know, four people read, which was tits, you know. But I was talking about how Mo Williams, the pickup, was like, somebody was saying, like, oh, that's a great pickup for, like, a playoff team. It's like, no. Like, not a seventh or eighth seed playoff team, you know. But you could convince, like, a contender for a one-year flyer on Mo Williams to give it a whirl if he's coming off the bench or something. So I kind of figured, like, well, maybe that would be – these are the kind of contracts and the kind of guys you want to have in your team because it can help facilitate trades.
I will say, I mean, Mo Williams is – you know, he's Mo Williams, but he's only making $2.6 million this year.
He's in an unbelievable – he's a great contract.
That's, like, a totally fair price for someone like Mo Williams.
It's a great contract. I would actually argue that would be a contract that would be in demand at the trade deadline because, I mean – he's got I think it's a player option for the second year, and he's going to opt out.
Yeah, second year is a player option.
I bet he's going to opt out unless he gets injured. And so.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Because, I mean, some idiot team will sign up for, like, $12 million 3 years next year.
Yeah, then he'll hurt his hip. He'll be good. So.
It's just funny. I'm looking at the roster and salaries right now. Like, I think it was Tom Ziller who wrote the articles. Like, this is LaMarcus's year to kind of put up or shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of true. Like, this is a team that, honestly, I think could sneak in, like, maybe not even sneak in is the wrong word, make the playoffs in the West. Like, the West is kind of up for grabs this year. Like,
it is. It really is. And the thing, especially, like, if you consider, like, that the Clippers are still the Clippers, and we were so thankfully reminded of that by that Woj article. I mean, because they should be the ones taking over, but I don't know, man. Like,
I mean, OKC is still OKC. They're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio is still San Antonio. But then it's like, after that, I think, you know, Houston, you can make a really good argument for them being really good. People are going to keep expecting big things out of Minnesota, but it's... I almost equate them with, like, the Clippers. It's like, you know, they're still kind of great in theory until they do something.
Right.
Memphis should be good, but, like, you know, they had the whole coaching change and everything. Denver, I don't know what's going to happen there. I think losing George Karl is big for them.
Yeah, they got Brian Shaw, so I guess that's a put up or shut up for him, too.
I mean, is Brian Shaw going to run the triangle offense there? Like, is that, like, what he's going to try to do?
I don't think so. It wouldn't work.
But yeah, I hope he's smart enough to know that that's not going to be a thing.
I feel like the triangle, though, is one of those things where if you're a good coach and you've learned the triangle, that means you've learned one of the most complex things, you know? I mean, at least to perfect the triangle, like, you can talk about in theory what the triangle offense is, but if you've gotten really good at that, then that's like learning calculus and being good at any math, you know?
I mean, it's not hard to coach Denver, I don't think. Just like,
no.
Hey, here's the ball, go.
No.
Like,
no.
Like, here, Ty Lawson, take the ball, run.
You did say something about how everyone's hoping something out of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I would like to point out the Bleacher Report article I read about the Warriors said that an injured Golden State Warriors team would be comparable to the healthy Minnesota Timberwolves.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. I kind of gave up on the article. I just saw Minnesota Timberwolves. I just want to let you know.
That's fair. I love Kevin Love. Don't get me wrong. Like, I want nothing but the best for him, but I don't know. We'll just see. I don't really have a lot of faith in that team. Anyway, my point is that the Blazers can very, very easily make the playoffs in the West. I wanted to mention New Orleans because I'm looking forward to watching them this year.
Okay.
You love them? Because Anthony Davis is going to be out of control good.
And you like their unis? You know what will always piss me off is that they didn't use the colors purple, yellow, and green.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's cheesily delightful.
Oh, they used blue, and I get it if they were, like, another team has those colors. But then they use the same colors as, like, the Washington Wizards. You know? So bad.
Really quickly, I know we've already kind of gone longer than we usually do, than we say we're going to and then go over it anyway.
Yeah, no, we good.
I want some suggestions for my league pass 5 this year.
Oh shit. Okay.
So the Warriors are 1.
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna do the Blazers just so I have some relevant stuff to talk about on here.
Make
fun of Stotts.
Okay.
But I might just call Butters because Butters Stotch, Terry Stotts.
Ooh. He is like Butters. Have you seen him?
Yeah, he is kind of like Butters, isn't he?
He's like Butters who went to like cool school and is trying really hard.
Like when Butters paid $3 to kiss the girl behind the bleachers or whatever.
Yeah, and be at a bottom bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, ready for this one.
Okay.
Detroit.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
I want to watch Brandon Jennings, Josh Smith, Greg Monroe, and Andre Drummond on the court at the same time with Rasheed on the bench yelling at them.
See, that's where I was going to go with that, was Rasheed Wallace as an assistant coach. That's too good.
Like, how can you not watch that?
You really have to. It's too good. I'm curious to see how that goes.
I love it because, you know, all the stories, like, he's obviously one of the most talented basketball players that's ever played, which is really hilarious to say.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who talks to him says he's, like, the smartest basketball mind they've ever talked to, so.
There needs to be a book about this guy, because, like, he's, like, on the one hand, like, the most controversial guy, but then at the same, on the other end, it's, like, all the reasons he was ripped on or reasons people would love to have a guy like that on their team. Like so in Portland, he was ripped on for not wanting to be the guy. But the flip side of that is, like, he was so unselfish that he wanted to just play basketball and not, yeah, and he wanted to defer attention. Like, it didn't seem that way because he got so many technicals, but he was just, like, he yelled a lot. But if you watch him play the game, like, he really, like, was a good, he was a really good basketball player.
Like, I want to see him, like, light up Josh Smith for taking, like, a three-pointer with, like, 20 seconds on the shot clock.
Oh, he won't do that. My favorite thing in the summer was when I caught a video when he yelled "Ball don't lie" from the bench.
Oh. And got technical for it.
Of course he did. It's so good. I love that he did that. Hey, I have a question for you.
Sure.
So the old Basketball Jones crew, they're on NBA TV now.
Yes.
Why didn't they get to take the Basketball Jones name? Do you know?
It's copyright infringement.
That's bullshit.
I know, right?
That really sucks. Yeah,
commercial for it at the on the halftime show today of the Clippers Lakers game.
What'd they do?
Like TNT is like actively promoting like the Basketball Jones.
Oh yeah, because NBA TV and Turner.
At Turner and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it was Matt Weiner who was in the studio, was like, you know, hey, the debut of the starters tomorrow night. They used to be known as something else. We can't say what it is now. I think you know what it is. Like, it's really funny how they can't say it.
Yeah.
Knows what it is.
That's so bad.
Have you listened to it yet?
I've heard a couple.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah. No, I'm still getting used to it. Are they saying, like, they're saying, yeah, I don't know. You could just tell that there was some weird thing that happened there. And I missed the last episode. I had no idea that was happening.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No clue.
on their like their final episode of last year, they were like kind of out of nowhere, oh, and by the way, we're done with the score. So, I mean, yeah. I was assuming hardcore Ballin' with Bozos listener Chris Sheehan and I were theorizing that they were just going to show up on Grantland because, you know, they had their pods, their Friday pods were always, like, also on Grantland.
Yeah. But then then Grantland pulled them.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I think so.
Simmons is a yutz.
Yeah, Simmons doesn't like this. Hey, they might be more popular than him, and they might be better basketball minds. Really?
I saw someone give him some RT love on Twitter tonight.
Who?
Simmons.
Okay.
And I was like, wait a minute. I forgot that Bill Simmons was even a thing.
Yeah.
His tweet was something like, hey, all you talking heads, you really don't think DeAndre Jordan can be Defensive Player of the Year now? It's like, we're two quarters into the season, and you yourself are a talking head. Who are you talking to? Here.
Yeah, he's the face of the talking heads now.
Biggest talking head in the NBA right
now. No, he's the biggest talking head there is. What a goofball. Like, I don't know, like, sometimes, like, if he has something funny, like, or if he has something, like interesting I want to read, then fine, but I'll look at it, but, like, he, whatever. He's too rich. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh.
What a suit. Anyway, okay, well, we've gone... I can't believe... Now we're ripping Bill Simmons, and we're going to get... we're going to get murdered. We're going to get murdered for it.
I know.
All right, bro. Well, let's see. You know what? We're going to do more of these. There's way too much to talk about. I'm posting something on the Blazers later. Are you going to write anything about the Warriors? Are we going to do back-and-forth blogs again, or what?
Yeah, I should probably do something like that.
Okay, well, your team opens tomorrow against the Lakers, and you should watch it. I'm not going to be able to watch the Blazers because I don't have any cable. I have, like, six channels, and they're also playing the Phoenix Suns, so I'm going to guess that it's going to be the most impossible game in the world to get the Blazers at the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, well, you got that Italian restaurant bar that you can go to.
I think I'm pretty sure I've been 86 from there.
That's fair.
Well, I don't know if I've been... I don't know, 86. I just get judgmental stares every time I go. Which is like the same thing to me because I'm very self-conscious. I just go, what? And then I just get way too drunk and then it's a cycle.
I believe the last time we were there was when we had mapped out the season of podcasting. So
yeah, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy when I go in there every time. So I go into Buffalo Wild Wings and the same thing happens.
E-dubs.
Mm-hmm.
Planning on going to Staples for the Warriors Clippers on Thursday. So next time we do this, I'll report back.
Oh, please do. All right, bro. Well, good first one. I think we'll see.
One in the books.
Yeah, all right.
That's gonna get cut off at like the 16-minute mark.
Yeah, it's okay though. Hey, look up the Bay City Rollers Saturday night because the top recommended video next to it is "Get Women to Chase You."
Well, you don't need to if you just play the Bay City Rollers. They come running anyway.
Okay, so on the side there's "Get Women to Chase You," YouTube mix the Bay City Rollers, fine. Then there's D2, the Mighty Ducks 2, in less than a minute. This is too good. Okay, I'm going to watch this and I'm going to go to bed.
Wonderful.
All right, bro. I'm going to send us out with the Bay City Rollers.
Do it.
Later.